Hello and welcome to the It's All Cobblers to Me preview show. I'm Danny and I'm here with Charles. How are you, Charles?
I'm all right, thank you very much. Not too bad at all. How are you? I shouldn't be rude. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Good.
Good. We've got a Tranmere fan, Charles, coming on.
We do have a Tranmere fan.
It's none other than Paul from This Is Tranmere.
Oh.
Yeah, we're going to find exactly what this is, apart from being Tranmere.
Apart from Tranmere.
On. But few things, few items on the agenda first.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we've got some agenda items. Are we? The council.
Yeah. Let's start with that, shall we? Oh, my Lord. Monday daytime. Let's start with the daytime because we put Kelvin Thomas and the club put out a statement saying that we have made an improved offer to West Northamptonshire Council, those joyous people, to more than satisfy their stated objectives. Yeah. So some of these things we've done to match the offer of Sildara. I'm still not completely sure who they are, but
hey!
Sildara. There we go. We've matched that offer of 2.05 million, which is a lot more than we originally bid. We are covering the whole athletics track, transferring to NTFC. If there's ever any development on any part of the athletics track, NTFC will agree that it can only be used for the benefit of NTFC or the community.
Oh, but what does that mean?
No, not enough time. NTFC is still required to complete the East End. Thank Christ for that. And an overage provision to WNC on a sale of the CDNL land. And that's a lot of acronyms. But yeah, did you enjoy the cabinet meeting on Monday night?
Oh, I loved it.
It was full of wonderful middle-class white people making decisions.
Such a diverse cabinet, isn't it?
They all look so happy to be there, don't they?
We're not very political on this podcast whatsoever. But I'm pretty sure that Northampton isn't as white as that room suggests.
It really isn't, is it?
Yeah.
But yeah.
There you go. Anyway.
Apart from that, they didn't make any decisions. About three or four.
Hang on a minute. That's not fair.
Is it not fair?
They did make a decision. They made a decision that was to not make a decision.
That's the decision that they made. They decided to attend the meeting.
Oh, and that. They made two decisions.
Crucial decisions. But yeah, the decision was they're delaying the decision again. Which I think we're all a bit like, we're fed up now. I've had enough now of just delays after delays after delays. It's just getting ridiculous.
I don't know why you or anybody else was actually really that surprised. Because, well, your laugh says it all, but that wasn't the reason why we shouldn't be surprised. The reason why I don't think really we should be surprised is that, they got a new offer from the club. A matter of hours before this meeting. And when it's taken them this long to get to this point, are you surprised that they wanted another week to look over a deal, a new offer, essentially? Because that's what it was. I mean, granted, the offer is essentially a bit more money, but there's also those extra provisions inside of it, as you quite rightly detailed. And, I think that it's probably a fair thing, as pointless as I'd felt. And the issue is that it was built up by the football club. It was built up by the media. It was built up by us, as being, this could be it. This could be not necessarily the end, but the beginning of the end of the saga. And then for it to just be like so deflating by being kicked down the road. I loved the bit, by the way, where the guy went, this isn't us kicking it down the road, by the way, kicking the can down the road, but we're going to kick it down the road.
It absolutely is.
And you were like that going, yeah, yes, you are. That is the very definition of kicking the can down the road.
Yeah. We didn't get any timescales, did we, officially? Or?
No, but there has been a thing come out today in the Chronicle and Echo, so we're recording on Wednesday, that says 8th of March, they will reconvene a cabinet meeting to essentially, as Rob Page would put it, go again.
We go again. So that's Tuesday the 8th of March. Should we do a live stream? A watch-along on YouTube?
A YouTube watch-along.
Of the council meeting. Might make it a bit more interesting.
Tell you what, join the Patreon. We'll do a Zoom.
Oh.
Why not? Absolutely brilliant.
What else has happened? Ryan Nolan, signing.
Oh, what a signing.
His sisters will be dancing in the streets.
Whee.
They will. Was it about an 18-month contract or so, I think it is?
I think so, yeah.
6 foot two, 23-year-old.
Any other measurements? Inside leg?
Sadly not, no.
Shoe size?
Very much one for the future, apparently.
Apparently.
Says John Brady. Yeah.
Also, judging by the articles I read, one from the past.
One from the past, is he?
Well, not for us, but he was one for the future back in the past.
Oh, okay.
And then he did his ACL?
Yeah. Yeah. Feels like just seeing the opportunity to sign someone, see what happens, isn't it? It can't be any massive dent in our contracts. It's kitty, can it? I'm assuming it's a kitty.
It's a piggy bank, actually. Piggy bank, it's one of those that you have to smash to get open.
Yeah. It sounds like one if he does, it obviously looks like he's going to go out on loan. It looks like it's going to be for next season. At the earliest, I would have thought, to actually give him game time.
Yeah.
But it's a risk-free one, I think, isn't it? From what I can gather.
Well, I don't think it has any impact
on us looking in any other positions for other free signings, doesn't it?
I would highly doubt it. And at the end of the day, and I know we don't want to think this, but what happens if the horse or Guthrie, you know, don't come back? Next season, whether it's being sold or they leave, you know, at the end of the contract, I haven't looked to be specific. But, you know, if we were left completely without, you know, a gap or with that gap to fill, isn't it better that we've already got somebody in the door? There's already that preparation there. Yeah. I mean, you know, our back, what would you call it, a back four or a back five, depending, you know, on which system we're playing, has looked pretty solid for the majority of the season. Our issue hasn't been defending. It's been going forward. So surely you want to make sure that, you know, you've got something that is a nice rock. Well, you want to keep that rock solid, don't you? You don't want to let it develop cracks.
Yeah. And obviously Tyler McGlaw will be going back.
Yeah, exactly.
As well. So,
and of course, there's Max Dyche as well to hopefully come back in, having played... it's not professional football. Maybe it is professional football, in fairness. I shouldn't be so detrimental to the non-league. But, you know, playing senior football is the word I should have said. So hopefully he'll come back from that a better player and more ready to step into our first team. Dyche and Nolan, together at last. Nolan.
Like they always dreamed. There was a match last night, Charles, which we'll get into. I mean, we could probably talk for a good hour about the complexities of the emotions that came out of it. First half, let's sum it up. First half, good. Second half, bad.
Done.
That's essentially it, isn't it? And I know Neil was apoplectic on Twitter.
Oh, he wasn't happy, was he?
The fan base seems a little bit divided again in terms of Brady. I don't know if you watched it back today, but it was... pretty poor second half, but I think
I have not. No, I've seen the goal, and one thing I want to say about this match, because I don't really want to talk about it, Danny. You might be able to tell. Right. Credit to the referee. Ooh. Don't do it often enough. Credit to the referee. Could have blown for a foul. Could have stopped the game and brought it back, but no, he let Mitch Pinnock shrug off his attempted shirt puller, and. Stick it away in the back of the net. Much better punishment than a free kick and what I presume would have been a yellow card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
second half apparently was awful.
Yes, it was pretty bad. It basically summed up our season, I think. Like, we can be good, decent to good, but we can also be terrible. And I don't
really
know.
Is it really that bad? Is it really terrible or is it just bad?
I mean, it was just, it was bad to terrible.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know where we go because it's like, we've got, 12 games left, is it? I just think nothing's going to change much now. So let's just try and get through it and try and get promoted because there's a chance there. There's obviously Exeter and Mansfield who are going to more than likely overtake us with their games in hand. But
well, you don't know that because they've still got to win those games.
They do. They've got... I think 3 points behind with three games in hand, don't they?
Yeah. And I think we are looking at this league and we are basically turning around and saying that this league is basically terrible.
It is, but then you get results like that, doesn't it? Like, you got Tranmere coming into the game, we'll talk about in a little bit. They've lost three of the last four as well. So they're not going to come into it in very good form either. So it's that kind of league where you never know. Like Exeter might lose them three games in hand, but we've got to do something to get behind the team again. And especially with it being our birthday.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday! Let's have a birthday bash. Let's have some of that. Have you seen the big 125 they did with all the old kits? I have.
Cobbler's Collectibles. That was brilliant.
Yeah,
love it.
EBS kit in there. Can spot. Oh, lovely. Resplendent.
That's the first kit that I ever bought. The orange away EBS kit. Yeah. I say I bought. Dad bought it.
Yeah.
Gave it to me. There you go. It doesn't fit. I tried it on.
it's going to be a 100-page souvenir program.
Oh.
Yeah.
£5.
The school's been getting involved. They've been making banners, looking at different decades. You'll like this one, Charles, and I like this one. 125 beer.
I do like that.
A special 125 beer in Carlsbad. We're going to be in Carlsbad after the game, Charles, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Yes.
A bit of 125 brew, if there's any left.
That'll be lovely, Absolutely lovely. I'm hoping there'll be plenty.
Yeah.
Because I'm presuming it's just Carlsberg have stuck a badge on an already existing beer.
We'll find out.
Having worked in the trade, I pretty much know that's what happens.
Come on, Charles. You want to sell it?
Look, I think it's great. It's a brilliant thing to put through, and I'm really pleased that they've done it. It's really good.
Like you say, the legends are going to be out as well, so it'll be nice to hang around. Give you something to hang around at half time for, don't it? I think I might plan my toilet break before half time when there's an injury or something, because I want to see this parade.
We could sort things out, you know, because obviously you're going to have Isaac with you. So, I mean, we'll do like a little tag team thing.
Oh, yeah.
You can go.
Wait, are you sitting near me, are you?
I don't know yet. I haven't got my ticket yet.
Get your ticket,
Charles.
I need to get it sorted.
I'll have it by the time that the pod goes out. By the time you're listening, I will have my ticket. It'll all be fine.
Yeah, legends.
Again.
Can't wait. We can recruit our Masters team from there.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant.
Anyway.
Speaking of legends.
Yeah.
I believe we've got a legend coming on now.
We do. Yeah, cool. We've got Paul Harper from This Is Tranmere. How are you doing, Paul?
Yeah, I'm good. Fellas, how are you?
Good, yeah. Not bad. We've just been talking about last night's game. So obviously hoping for a bit more from this weekend. But it's a bit of a weird second versus third game, I think, at the minute. I think it's fair to say, because we're both not on the best of forms. we're both coming into it kind of a little bit nervous about teams chasing us, I think it's fair to say. But for what are your kind of feelings coming into this? Because it does feel like we're both kind of lingering up there, but we're not quite sure how we got there at the minute.
Yeah, if we'd have done this podcast about 4 weeks ago, I'd have been buzzing. And I'd been looking forward to this game. The last few weeks have really hit us quite hard. And we beat Swindon 3-0 on the 8th of February. And that was kind of the pinnacle performance. It was a really good performance. You know, we got obviously three good goals, dominated the whole game from start to finish. And it was the complete performance that we've not really seen this season. We've been picking up results, but we haven't really seen that performance that puts a cherry on the cake, and that was that. And it's it seemed that was the pinnacle, and it's gone extremely downhill after that. It has been a sticky 2 or 3 weeks, but we're still in the top three somehow. And as you say, second v third, really big game, and it should be one we're looking forward to. But as you say, there is a bit of trepidation there, and obviously, you guys have had a good season so far as well. Should be interesting. Let's put it that way.
What were your expectations at the start of the season, Paul? Were you looking for promotion? Was that the number one aim? I mean, I know that's an obvious sort of thing that all football fans obviously want, but was that a realistic target for Tranmere, do you think?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, albeit our summer transfer dealings weren't the greatest, let's say. I mean, we brought in Callum McManaman, who was kind of like the star signing, if you like, albeit he hasn't worked out quite as well as all that expectation and hope would have spoken for. But, you know, we started the season with a young lad called Elliot Nevitt up front, who we signed from Warrington Rylands in the summer. He was playing sort of Northwest Counties, which is step five non-league. And he was brought in basically as a bit of a development player. And we missed out on so many targets that he ended up leading our strike force for the first two or three months of the season, which wasn't ideal. But yeah, we've added to the squad as we've kind of gone along, and things seem to have knitted together a lot better. I think in the summer, you know, with Mickey Mellon coming back, the kind of the motion from a couple of years ago by the EFL, the points per game thing, which still wrangles with us even now, you know, being sort of demoted back into this division. Coming so close last season, but we were a million miles away in all honesty under Keith Hill. It was around this time last year that we kind of fell off a cliff. And the same thing's kind of happening now, but we were looking, you know, good for automatic promotion last year, and the wheels fell off, and James Vaughan got injured, and we literally couldn't score a goal. And then obviously Keith Hill lost his job, and yeah. So I think expectation at Tranmere is that we are a League One club, sort of top end League One. Whether that's realistic or not, that's a debate for another day. But I think obviously with the demotion, which we felt was very unjust. You know, we do want to be back in League One, so the target had to be promotion. That's why Mickey's been brought in. He obviously knows how to do that, having done back to back with us previously and won promotions with other clubs he's been at as well. So that's most definitely the aim. And obviously, given the position we're in now, you know, I would say, in inverted commas, looking good. to try and do it if we can turn the results around. So yeah, we're in a really good position. We just need to kick on again. And these next 12 games are going to be absolutely massive, and you know, no bigger than Saturday.
So talking about Mickey Mellon, that, I mean, firstly, points per game, we're big fans of points per game, so I don't know what you're talking
love
about
it.
There.
Absolutely love it.
Yeah, Mickey Mellon, who's obviously come back second spell, was it was back-to-back promotions, I think, last time, wasn't it? He got you from Conference to League One, or National League, sorry, to League One. In terms of like the whole history of Tranmere, how high is he regarded?
I would say, I mean, I'm speaking personally, I know a lot of people kind of disagree with me. I'm putting him up there as the best manager we've ever had. In terms of what he's achieved, obviously the back-to-back promotions, which no other Tranmere manager has achieved, but just the ability to change a game with a substitution or a tactical change. We had a lot of success under Johnny King in the late 80s, early 90s, but we had a big benefactor back then and a lot of money, and we were able to bring in players like Pat Nevin, John Aldridge, people like that. Liam O'Brien, international players who could help us move up the divisions. Whereas Mickey has been, you know, he's, as I mentioned, we brought in a lad from Rylands in non-league. And that's kind of the difference, the kind of the market that we're shopping in now is very, very different to the one that Johnny King was. And albeit he took us to the brink of the Premier League, Mickey obviously got us back into League One, which at the time was as momentous an achievement as those from the early 90s. So I hold him in the highest esteem. I think he's done fantastic for the club. The big thing for us is that he actually understands the town, the support. Having been a player here twice as well, obviously this is his second managerial spell as well. He understands what it means to the club, to the supporters. And obviously, everybody's gone through difficult times at the minute. But you know, Birkenhead is not a cash rich city by any means. You know, it's a very working class town, and that's kind of what we want from our football team: hard working, grafting. And he understands that, he gets that, and he converses very, very well, and he comes across very well to the supporters, which I think is important. Keith Hill was the complete opposite and didn't get it whatsoever. And he just pissed everyone off. He said that we felt we were obliged to beat, you know, teams every week, and, you know, they should be thankful for the job he was doing, getting us into the top seven, this, that, and the other. So he didn't understand the support base whatsoever. Mickey gets it 100%, and you know, he's got a great, you know, Tranmere's got a massive place in his heart. I kind of know him personally as well. He wants the very best for the club and for the team on the pitch on a Saturday. So, you know, I think he's got, if not 100%, then definitely 99% of everybody's backing to get us where we say we belong, which is back in League One.
So you're coming into the game at the weekend, four games without a win. I think I'm right in saying it's three defeats in four as well,
yep.
Which is, well, we're not a lot better, so no need to worry about that. Is there any, I know you said like 99% behind him, is there any kind of frustrations about things like playing style and not scoring enough goals, or is it basically just everyone's behind him?
Oh no, absolutely, yeah. You know, if we don't win a game, there's a meltdown on the internet. So don't worry about that. You know, it's the modern day football fan. I think every club's the same. I'm sure, you know, there's plenty of Cobblers fans who are not best pleased when you guys don't win. And yeah, the performances in the last three or four games have not been great. They've not really inspired any confidence. You know, we've not looked like a team that was sitting second, third in the league. Not been the best. But as I said, it's performances like that one before the four games against Swindon where we absolutely played them off the park. And, you know, it's hoping that we can get back to that sort of form. But yeah, these last three or four games have not been good enough whatsoever. And I think there would have been some harsh words said in the dressing room on Saturday. We got ourselves back from two goals down to two all somehow with two fluky goals. And that's exactly the time when you think, right, shut up shop, let's take a point. And we just gave away two sloppy goals right at the end to lose at Newport. So, yeah, it's I'm sure there was definitely some harsh words said. Hopefully the players are big enough to take that on the chin, and hopefully we'll see a bit of a reaction on Saturday.
Mm. So we're pretty similar in terms of goals scored, goals conceded. Both of us now the joint lowest goals conceded in the league. So we all know where it's going on Saturday. 4-4, anyone?
I take that, Daddy.
But yeah, it's quite rare for you to concede four goals like that at Newport, wouldn't it? Like, did that just come out of nowhere?
A little bit, I would say. But yeah, we never got going whatsoever. And Newport are a strong side, I wouldn't say a great side, but they knew what they were doing. And on the day, our back four was a bit shaky. And yeah, it was just one of those days where we just all over the place. But I think you have performances like that where, you know, your strikers aren't holding the ball up, your midfielders aren't, you know, keeping all the possession, and your back four that you rely on 99% of the time because the rest of the team is doing well. It kind of, you know, it's the domino effect, I think, and you know, they fell apart as well, unfortunately. So one of those days, we just got to put it down to that, hopefully. And, you know, Peter Clark and Tom Davis and Knight Percival have been really, really, really solid for us so far, barring last Saturday. So, you know, they've got plenty of experience between them, I'm sure. You know, I think we've got the oldest defence pretty much in the division, maybe the country in total. So, you know, you've got to think that they'll brush it aside, they'll put it behind them, and you know, clean sheet on Saturday will be what their main aim will be.
So in terms of like your style of play, I've been looking around some of your forums and things, there's a little bit of frustration about the counter-attacking style not being clinical enough at the end. Sounds a little bit like us again, in terms of the frustrations that we were over-reliant on the defensive side of things. Is that something that you see in them?
Yeah. I mean, if we'd have spoke 3 months ago when we were barely scoring a goal at all, that most definitely. And we've tried a few different systems over the course of the season, and I think the one that works best for us is the old school 4-4-2, and in players getting wired, getting crosses into the box. And we've got, as I say, Nevitt, who's done really well since coming in. He's very raw, but he's a big lump. He's a nuisance. I mean, he's not going to be a 30 goal a season striker, but he's one of those where you can, he'll make a bit of space for somebody else, if you know what I mean. So we've got Josh Hawkes, who we signed permanently in January, a really good winger. He was unfortunately injured, and I think him being out of the side and lacking that little bit of width has really led to some of the poor performances and the lack of goal threat that we've had in recent weeks. So yeah, hopefully we can get him back as soon as possible. But as I said, McManaman came in the summer. Obviously, plenty of Premier League experience from Wigan and West Brom and the like. And we were expecting big things from him, and he hasn't really set the world alight. And it needs somebody like him to step up to the plate now and take that mantle while Hawks is on the sidelines.
He is someone that I was so surprised that came to League Two, because you remember him, like I say, playing in the Premier League, tearing it up a little bit. I think, was he in Wigan's FA Cup winning team?
Or he was, squad, yeah.
At least. Has it just been consistency with him, or is it just, has he never really gone above a certain level?
It is a bit of consistency. I think mother time is catching up with him, let's say. and his legs are going. And you can see that ability that he's got, and he'll never lose that. The technical ability on the ball and stuff like that. But whereas 2 or 3 years ago he would have glided past someone, it's just not there at the minute. And yeah, I think he's been sort of in and out of the side. He hasn't really had a run of games, which obviously doesn't help with your match fitness. And when you're coming in cold. So it's not been ideal, but he hasn't really earned a place in the team to earn a run of games. So it has been difficult for him. And as I say, he's got bags of ability, and there's no question about that. But I think sort of fitness wise, there leaves a lot to be desired, let's say.
Mm. And a couple of other players who we like to have a quick look through the team page to do a little bit of research. Sam Foley, how's he doing? Because I think he went up to Scotland after us, came back to you. Seems to have been doing well, pretty consistent. Is he still getting in? Is he still playing?
Another one who's kind of in and out of the team. I really like him. I really like him. I think whenever he comes in, he does a good job. He's played centre half as well this season for us, during a bit of an injury crisis. But he's one of those players who's reliable. You can stick him. I mean, he's played number 10. I think he's played defensive midfield. He's played centre back. He does a steady job. Nothing's outstanding or spectacular, but he's that steady Eddie that I think every team probably needs. As I say, he's been sort of in and out of the team, hasn't really had a real run of games. But again, he's mid-30s. Time is catching up with him a little bit as well, I imagine. So, but yeah, when he comes in, he does a good job, and I imagine that he'll probably be on the bench on Saturday, having not played too much recently. But as I say, if he comes on, you know exactly what you're going to get from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds quite familiar, I think. The other one, I was looking at Kieran Morris. He seems to be one of these, another one who's really consistent, another one who's just steady, can put in performances week after week. Is he the top scorer this season as well?
Oh, probably. He's got five goals.
He's got five goals, yeah. Again, we can relate to that kind of thing. But he's never really done that much in his career as well. Is there something that's changed with him this season, or is it just down to he's just top scorer?
He is top scorer with five goals.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I was half joking with you then. He is our top goal scorer. He's one of them that can frustrate at times because you know he's got the ability to pull out a 30-yard screamer or, you know, play that killer pass. It's every time he tries it and it really doesn't work that frustrates you. He has been a lot more consistent this year. I think last year was a bit of a disappointing season for him, but, you know, did last season ever happen? It was a very strange one all round. So, yeah, he's definitely, you know, again, bags a bit of ability. Someone you want to get on the ball in those attacking areas because you know he can do something. He has been a goal threat from the wide areas. So, somebody that we're relying on for goals with his five.
Charles, is Sam Hoskins our top scorer at the minute, I'm assuming?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. And when that happens, you know, we're in trouble.
Second in the league, though.
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's a strange old season.
No idea. Anyone else we should look out for at the weekend?
We signed a young lad from Everton on loan towards the end of January. A lad called, Lewis Warrington, a 19-year-old midfield player who has, again, you know, bags of ability. Played some exquisite passes to set up a couple of goals a few weeks ago when we actually scored some. So he's definitely one to look out for. And I think Kane Hemmings as well, a striker we brought in from Burton in January. He's kind of the target man that we're using at the minute. He's, you know, hardworking. Again, his opportunities in front of goal have been limited, but he's someone on his day who can definitely cause a few problems. But, you know, as we've been saying, our goal threats have been few and far between. So I think Peter Clark was for quite a long time our top goal scorer with two goals. So that kind of sums up the goal scoring threats that we've been offering this season.
Charles, before predictions, I'm going to let you ask this last question that we always ask to either calm us down or get us devastated. Didn't really work last week, but...
No, it didn't. I can't believe you're handing over the reins of your favourite question. So Danny's favourite question, Paul, is how are you at defending set pieces?
I'm going to say not bad. I think... Peter Clark is one of those players that seems to have a magnet in his head. And quite often, well, since he's been at Tranmere anyway, for the two and a bit years that we've been watching him, he's the one that you want attacking the ball when it comes into the box. If it's anybody else, then, you know, there are question marks. But if he did score an own goal the other day, so... I could be wrong, but if the ball's coming in the box and he's underneath it, I'm sitting quite calmly in my seat that we're going to, you know, clear our lines. But as I say, if it's anybody else, there might be heart in mouth. But we're not too bad. That is quite a strong area of our game, and I know lots of teams exploit on set plays, but that's something that Mickey Mellon sort of prides himself on, and organisation and the kind of defensive side of the game. So hopefully we don't concede three goals from set pieces now.
It's 40 now, Peter Clark. I was just looking up our audience. Really? I knew he's been around a long time. And I know we were linked with him once upon a blue moon. But 40 now, still going strong. Love a bit of that kind of thing.
He's been outstanding. Outstanding. Last season was voted Player of the Year by, you know, he was head and shoulders above anybody else. He played every single league game, I think. Every minute of every league game last season. He missed out a few of the Mickey Mouse, what's it called, the Pizza Cup thing.
Yeah.
He missed a few of those games, but he played every minute of every league game last season. I think he's done similar this year. Might have missed one or two games, I think. Mr. Reliable, Mr. Reliable. Apart from that own goal the other day, he's been outstanding again. And you know how he keeps himself as fit as he does is, you know, hats off to him, credit to him. I think he could probably play on for another 2 or 3 years if he wanted to. Yeah, he's been absolutely outstanding.
All right, that doesn't give me a lot of hope then, Charles.
No, not in a minute.
but Paul, as you might know, it's Cobbler's birthday on this week, and this is our anniversary game, so we're going to have a load of legends doing a parade at halftime. What do you think you can do to ruin our party? Apart from beating us.
Well, yeah, the obvious.
Yeah.
I remember Tranmere held a 125th anniversary game back in 2009, and we lost 4-1 at home to Swindon in one of the most dreadful performances I've ever seen.
Brilliant.
So, hopefully, but in all honesty, I think it's going to be a bit of a nervy game, as you've been mentioning.
Mm. It seems like it's going to be quite cagey, doesn't it? It's one of them.
I think so. I think it's one of those games where we might be going into it thinking, can't really afford to lose this one. And I think a point would be, you know, a really good outcome, mm-hmm. given our last four results. So, I think it could be a tight one. It might be just, you know, one moment of brilliance defines the game, or it could be the board draw that we all fear. But I don't think there's going to be a lot of goals, I'm afraid. But
are you going 0-0? We'll come to predictions now. We'll
if there is one, hopefully, pray to God that Kevin Morris can make it to 6 goals for the season.
Is that what you're going for? 1-0 Tranmere win? We'll go on to predictions now.
Go on, I'll stick my neck on the line. Yeah. And yeah, 1-0. I normally predict us to lose because I'm hopeless.
Oh, everyone does that, nice.
But yeah, I'll go 1-0 Rovers.
Speaking of someone who's useless at predictions, Charles.
Hello there.
Where are you going for?
Yes, Six your fields. Resident awful prediction maker is in the house.
3 o'clock.
Oh, thank you. I didn't realise I was taking Neil's role and not knowing when we were playing. I'm going to go 0-0. And I'm also, I shouldn't be like this, should I? I'm feeling really, really negative about this. More so
we're really selling it to the public.
I have, yeah.
Get your tickets, folks. Come on.
The big issue for me is that because I always, the last few weeks, I've kind of done that thing, haven't I, where I've gone, right, I'll go for a 1-0 win and then we lose 1-0. So the following game, I went, okay, we'll lose 1-0, and we lost 1-0. And it was just like, oh, for goodness sake, this is ridiculous. So I feel like the safest thing for me to say is a 0-0 draw. And everybody else take their serious predictions from Danny, please.
I'm going 3-3 then.
Whee!
I think its form book's going to turn on its head in terms of the goals for and against columns. And we're going to get a ding-dong for the anniversary. How about that?
That'd be good.
And we'll get Eric Sabin coming off the bench.
Oh,
because he's gone the wrong way when they've asked him to come away from the Legends Parade. I don't know if he's going to be there, but if he's not, I'm going to riot.
Throw some Haribo at Kelvin.
Yeah, 3-3. Let's have it. Thank you, Paul. Thank you so much for joining us. Can you give you a quick plug to your podcast while you're here?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't recorded one for two, three months, but at This Is Tranmere on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. You'll find all the links to subscribe and all the rest of it on there. So, yeah.
Good stuff. Thanks very much, Paul. Thanks again for joining us. Charles, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I will see you on Saturday.
Yes. Please bring Haribo.
I will do. I'll bring bags full.
And good.
I'll bring the award as well.
Oh, yes. I'm that. We can do the handover. Thank you.
Next week, we're going to be speaking to a Carlisle fan.
Oh.
Give Keith a ring, shall we?
Oh, give Keith a ring. Get him on.
It's not doing anything. thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll be back next week. And happy birthday, Cobblers.
Happy birthday!